Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here tonight. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray that you would bless and just thank you again that we have this opportunity. And Father, as we think of Memorial Day coming up this week, and we think of the sacrifice that so many people made for the freedoms that we enjoy, it ought to remind us even more of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made upon the cross so long ago that we can have the forgiveness of sin and the freedom to enter into heaven upon our death. Father, we just pray that you would bless, use the program tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as mentioned in the prayer, Memorial Day is coming up this week. If you're a purist, the real Memorial Day is on May the 30th, and that is where it was always at until 1971, I believe it was, when they made a lot of holidays on Monday because they wanted to give everybody three-day weekends. And I guess it has some advantages, but if you're a purist, the 30th is the actual Memorial Day. And if you're just going with the flow, I guess tomorrow's Memorial Day. At least that's when we observe it. They tried to do that with a couple other holidays. I guess the 4th of July just wouldn't work too good when it's on some day other than the 4th. And then I know Veterans Day, they tried to make Veterans Day Memorial Day, or I'm sorry, on a Monday. But if you remember, Veterans Day is the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. November 11th at 11 o'clock when they sign the armistice. And so as a consequence, it's kind of hard to take away from the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month and put it on a Monday because you know it wouldn't always be the 11th day, just like the 4th of July wouldn't always be the 4th if you had it on a Monday all the time. But Veterans Day observances, be that as it may, purist or not, Memorial Day holiday celebrations will be tomorrow, whether you're a purist or not. Many towns and cities and villages and hamlets across the country are going to be taking some time with parades and things like that, speeches at cemeteries, and honoring those that gave their life in service to our country. And sometimes a question comes up, why do we seem to have so many holidays for veterans? Or for those that were in the military. And in reality, we have three major ones if you think about it. There's Armed Forces Day, which most people aren't as familiar with. And then there's Memorial Day, and there's Veterans Day. And if you think about it in this fashion, actually Armed Forces Day is also in May. A week ago Saturday on May the 18th was Armed Forces Day. And Armed Forces Day honors those who are currently serving. And then Veterans Day on November 11th honors those who have served. And then, of course, Veterans Day is an honor and remembrance of those who gave their life in service. And, of course, of the three holidays, Memorial Day and Veterans Day are more well-known and more observed, and they've come to be a day of honoring all veterans as well as active duty, but that's essentially where they're at. And when we think about this and we think about what people were willing to do, you know, Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you think about that in that context, you know, a lot of people who are willing to do that and willing to give themselves. And Paul in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 wrote, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, we think of those that sacrificed on Memorial Day, those that gave their life and so that we could have the freedom. And quite frankly, I would not be able to sit here behind this microphone freely talking about the things of God, talking about the Bible, talking about current events in light of God's Word. I would not have the freedom to speak at church, at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and be able to share with our church the messages that God lays on my heart from the Word of God each Sunday. And we wouldn't have the freedom to have our Friday radio program here on AM 1220, The Word, every Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And I would not have the freedom to be able to have our Friday night Bible study where our church gathers and we talk about the Bible and we talk about what's happening in the world in light of God's Word. I would not have those freedom if it wasn't for those people who served and those people, in some cases, who gave their all to protect that freedom. And I'm talking about all the way back through our country's history, those men and women that gave of themselves and sacrificed so that we could have the freedom of religion. We would not have that today if it wasn't for their service and for their sacrifice. And really, before we get too much further in the program, I would certainly like to salute all of those that have served. I mean, you have done a lot to make it possible for me to do what I do and for each one of us listening to do what we do. You've given us that freedom. And I served myself in the United States Air Force, and I appreciate it. I was at the grocery store the other day, and somebody saw the Air Force tags in the back of my truck, and he honked his horn, and he said, thanks for your service, and I appreciated that. And it turned out he actually served in the Air Force himself, and I thanked him for his service. But whatever branch, and you know what, it really extends beyond just the recent wars. It extends all the way back to the founding of our country, when people like George Washington and Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and on and on and on, these people that willingly sacrificed. Had they lost, they could have been hung as traitors. But because we won, we beat the largest military, most advanced military in the world of the day, the British Army, and we won our independence. And then, of course, we have our Constitution that's been protected down through the years. It's still in danger today. And it takes men and women who are willing to rise to the call, sometimes to give their all, to ensure that we have these freedoms. And, you know, that reminds me, even more importantly, of the men and women that died for the cause of freedom and religious freedom in particular down through the years, and ultimately pointing back to the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life for us. And, you know, he's the one who literally went to the cross and sacrificed himself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, that means the payment for our sins. Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross and laid down his life so that we could have the ultimate freedom, the freedom from sin. And I certainly appreciate that. That's why we're on the air. And I want to thank you, all those that served, and also for the families of those that served. You know, they don't get recognition as much as they should. There are families across this country that lost loved ones, and whether or not they lost loved ones, they lost time with their loved ones. as they went into the service and as they served in various parts of the world protecting our freedom. There are families who, though their loved ones came home physically, the damage, the mental and emotional damage from their toll in battle and the things that they saw, the things that they were exposed to, has forever altered their loved one from the person that went away to the person that came back. And the service of these families that have stood in the gap to make it possible for men and women to serve their country wearing the uniform of our country, we certainly salute and honor them as we think of Veterans Day, or I'm sorry, I keep saying Veterans Day, as we think of Memorial Day coming up here in just a little bit, actually just less than an hour, 45 minutes or so away. And well, if you, I can talk about Memorial Day and things like this quite a bit. It's again, like I said, it reminds me not only the freedom that I have and appreciate it more, but it also reminds me of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave me the freedom to be able to say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that my sins are forgiven, and I know that I have a home waiting for me in heaven. And what a glorious freedom that is, but it cost the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful he didn't stay dead. He rose again victorious over sin and death. And what a wonderful thing that is. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al here just in the waning hours of the day before Veterans Day comes upon us. I said it again, Veterans Day, didn't I? Before Memorial Day come upon us. And you have to excuse me with that. Sometimes I get my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth and I don't see what I'm saying. But as Memorial Day comes upon us here in about 45 minutes, take time tomorrow. Get together with family and friends. If you got an opportunity to go somewhere and visit a cemetery and maybe put a flag down on some veteran's grave or maybe participate in a parade or Veterans Day events, yeah, take time, get involved. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. I've been talking the last 15 minutes. Phones have been ringing, and I got several people lined up right now. We're going to take, I believe Grover is first up. And Grover, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, it's been a while, Brother Al.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. Welcome, and happy Memorial Day to you.
Same to you. Hey, before I hang up, I'm going to give you my number.
Let me have you give that to our call screener out there, okay? So rather than give it over the air. So when we get done here, give it to him, okay? Because it's really not good to be giving your phone number over the air, because okay, whoever's listening can get it.
Well, that's right.
But
I'll even give my number to the devil if you if I could. But before I hang up, just tell him to, I'll give you my number.
Okay.
The main thing I want to talk to this comment, I was just listening to a guy on another station.
Mm-hmm.
Today I preached on there's no way that you can lose your salvation. I made the remark, anybody that says that you can lose your salvation, it's a gift of God. You don't earn it. He says, I'll save you unto the day of redemption, John 3:16, for everlasting life, and
absolutely,
all of that. And I just got to listen to a guy. He tried to use, and he's talking about the, I don't understand how some people can take those that endure to the end shall be saved. All they got to do is look at their topic. He is talking about going through the great tribulation.
Oh, absolutely. And he's not talking about spiritual salvation there.
That's
he's
right.
Talking about surviving the tribulation, because
right,
you know, people need to remember that those that survive the tribulation will all be saved, and they will be the ones who physically repopulate the earth during the millennial
right,
reign of Christ.
See,
they'll marry, they'll have children.
That's what gets me. Unfortunately, they're Pentecostal. Most of them believe you can lose your salvation. He used that one expression that I will not blot your name out of the book, Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and that's absolutely true, because once you're You know, once you're saved, he's not going to blot you out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
And then he hits that other one, anybody that adds or take away, that their name will be taken out. Well, see, that is the only verse in the Bible that says that your name can be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life if you take away from this word. Now, that's the only one that I have ever seen in the book of Revelation that your name will be taken out. Isn't that the only one you ever heard of?
Yeah, that's the only part there, and you're right. It's not talking about people losing their salvation. And there's some other things, but let me go back to what you said about he that endure to the end. And I got to watch the clock here, Grover, because I got a couple more people to get to before the break. Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 is where that passage is.
Yeah.
And Jesus is teaching on the end times. And they wanted to know what was going to be a sign of the end of the world. And as he's teaching on that in Matthew 24, he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And, he's absolutely talking about enduring the tribulation. And there's a common mistake, and I run into this talking with other people. We see the word saved and we don't distinguish between whether it's talking about a salvation, you know, being saved from sin and saved from hell, or if it's talking about saved as I could say I saved somebody because they were about to step out in front of a bus and I pulled them back just in time. Saved them, but they're not on their way to heaven because I kept them from getting run over by a bus. I saved them physically. And so the Bible does the same thing. Sometimes the Bible talks about physical salvation in that sense or spiritual salvation. And absolutely right in Matthew chapter 24, there are people who are going to survive the tribulation, there are people who are going to come to Christ during the tribulation. And if they endure all of the events of the tribulation, they will arrive at the end of the 7 years and go into the millennial reign of Christ physically. Now, those that die, they're going to be caught up to heaven, and they're going to come back with Christ like we will, we will come into the millennial reign of Christ in a new body. Now, those that survive the tribulation physically, they'll not have that new body yet. They'll still be in a body of flesh and blood like we're in today. They'll be like we are today. But we at that time will have received a new body.
Isn't that wonderful to think of one day?
But they will marry and have children, and those children will have to trust Christ as their Savior. There's going to be some that won't. That's why when the devil gets out of the bottomless pit at the end of the millennium, he'll find a group of people who are ready to listen to him.
I don't want to take too much, but I want to make this comment. You know, it says those going to have children and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that another world where they're going to have a perfect woman that's going to keep her mouth shut this night?
I guess we better let her go at that, or you're going to be in trouble, too. Don't hang up right away. Let our call screener get your number there off the air. Appreciate the call, Grover, and he'll get your number there. We've got another caller coming in, and we've got Robin waiting. And, Robin, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Oh, we lost Robin. We got Tiffany next, I think. Tiffany, welcome. And is Tiffany there? I think Grover scared them all off with the comment about the women there. Appreciate that. Let's see. Well, we got a few minutes left, and I'll give out that phone number again, 888-677-9673. And you're welcome to give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and certainly talking about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. And if you were on before and you got dropped off somehow, give us a call back. We can get you on. We can get at least one more person on before the break here. And then we're going to take a break at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be on till midnight tonight. So if you get in, don't hang up, or if you get disconnected, you can give a call back. But that's 888-677-9673. And as soon as we get our next available line ready, we'll jump to that. And give just a moment. Our call screener in there is absolute busy, and he's doing the best that he can. So we'll pray for Lee in there. He's doing the best he can. He's only got two ears and two sets of hands, and he's trying to get everything recorded and all the right buttons pushed so that we can be on the air. And a thing like this doesn't come off on its own. I need help. And so God puts people in there to help out. I appreciate that. All right, we've got our next caller coming in, and I'm going to go with that in just a minute. All right, just a moment, I guess. We've got Robin back. Welcome back to the program, Robin. You're on live, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Glad you called back.
Thank you. I was looking in the Bible, and I was just trying to get further clarification on, I understand why we celebrate Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to look at it in more reference to it biblically. And I was looking in Joshua, and it was saying how the memorial celebration was celebrated in the Bible and how God commanded the Israelite leader, Joshua, to make a mark. Remembering the Ark of the Covenant,
mm-hmm.
so future generations will understand what took place during that time. And I was wondering,
did we just lose Tiffany or Robin there? All right, we're having a couple problems there. We had Robin; she was asking about Memorial Day celebrations and all. And Robin, are you back with us?
Yes.
Okay, we had a little glitch there. But you were asking about Memorial Day celebrations. Go ahead.
Yes. And I was just looking in the Bible and trying to figure out more specifically, how does that reference in the Bible and how do we actually mark that? Because most people are sad when you say memorial because mm-hmm. it's, yes.
Yeah, so and some people call it Remembrance Day or Decoration Day.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And I was just reading in Joshua when he had the Ark of the Covenant, and he commanded Joshua to leave a mark for the future generation. And is that in consideration to the same thing that we do or recognize as Memorial Day?
There are some similarities there. In our present Memorial Day, it would be, you know, a lot different. But holidays in general were things to commemorate. And Joshua, not only remember they had to take stones out of the River Jordan, and they had to, every representative of every tribe, and they made a pile of stones to commemorate the crossing of the Jordan and things. There are a variety of things. They certainly were commanded under Moses to remember the Passover. And the purpose for these days of remembrance is to remember important things that took place. And that's where a lot of our holidays came from. You know, we celebrate Christmas to remember that Jesus came into the world. We celebrate Easter or the resurrection of Christ to commemorate the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross and his resurrection. And a lot of days we celebrate the 4th of July, a secular holiday, to commemorate the founding of our country. We celebrate Memorial Day to commemorate those who gave their lives and service to our country to secure the freedoms that we enjoy. And so the idea of Memorial Day as a day of remembrance, we do see God placing, things in the Bible, such as Passover and other things, as a thing of remembrance. In fact, even when we observe the Lord's Supper, the Bible says, "This do in remembrance of me." It's a commemoration, in fact, of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. And the various things, of course, there's other holidays that the Jewish people celebrate, Hanukkah and Purim and things of that nature. And so all these are remembrances of things that happened, and we ought to remember what God did for us as a country, as a nation, when we celebrate Memorial Day. And that's where I would say we do have some biblical basis for, commemorating Memorial Day.
Okay.
Okay, so, thank you very much, Pastor.
I appreciate that, Robin. And, of course, thank you for your call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We have Tiffany calling in, and we got just about a minute or so before the break. But, Tiffany, we'll hold you over if need be, but welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hello, Tiffany. All right, still having a few problems there. If you're having some problems calling in, call back in. But we've got the bottom of our hour break coming up. We've got another half hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. If you call in on the break, we'll pick you up after we get back to the second half of our program. We should thank those who have served and the sacrifices that they have made. And then thank God for the tremendous sacrifice that he made when he sent his own son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I want to invite you to give us a call, 888-677-9673, with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. As we approach Memorial Day here, we've been talking about some things related to that, and we've got another half hour coming up here, and if you're on the line waiting, just go ahead and hold on. And I don't want to get into anything more right here before the break. We just got a few seconds. So stick with us. We'll be here till midnight tonight.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and you can get in the conversation here with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word by calling 888-677-9673. That's 888 877-967-9673. We're brought to you, of course, by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in the center of North Royalton there. That's State Route 82. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And if you're looking for old collectible coins, military memorabilia, just about anything, pottery, stamps, postcards, used instruments even, check out Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And you can even find high-quality jewelry there if you're on a budget, need to find an engagement ring or a wedding ring. Check out Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. You'll be glad you did. Also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza, the home of the homemade pizza, is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the high school. They've got calzones, strombolis, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more in addition to pizza. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5 there at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100, and right there across from the high school on Turney Road. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, but the high franchise fees have put you off, call Gus at East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask how you can get into the pizza business yourself. He'd be glad to help you out with that as well. All right, we'll get back to our program here, and we have, it looks like, Tiffany waiting on the line, and I apologize, we've had some problems with the lines tonight, but Tiffany, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, how are you doing
today? Hi, good evening. Thanks for calling back. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I had something on my mind regarding Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's been going on in America, you know, all the politics are just, you know, kind of overboiling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, like, what was your perspective on, like, the current situation in America? Like, we're over in Afghanistan and, you know, across the borders and, you know, the Iraq war and things. Like, it's like our soldiers, they have a commitment to follow the government lead, you know. But it's like, it really does seem like, you know, this is almost like, you know, I know there was a big protest against Vietnam. And it's like, you know, the Iraq war was just, you know, unnecessary. And it's like, we shouldn't even be there, you know. And I listen to people like, you know, when the political debates were going on, you know, Ron Paul was saying stuff like, well, we should stay there because, you know, there's going to be another winter, and we should stay there through winter. And it's like, our troops have a commitment to follow the government's lead, but it's like, we really shouldn't be there. And what about, like, the Christian troops? You know, if there's, like, things going on and people being killed unnecessarily. You know, I was just wondering, like, what was your pastoral outtake on that?
And those really are some good questions. And I would put it this way. One of the things we need to understand is God raised up this country in the first place, and he raised up for a reason. And I believe there's a variety of reasons, actually, that God brought our country into being. I think one of the reasons was to be a standard bearer for the gospel message. And our country has in the past done just that. I also believe that God raised up this country for the purpose of protecting the Jewish people so that eventually they would one day be able to have a return to their homeland, which, of course, our country has done. But having said all that, I also believe that our country, in many respects, has drifted very far from God. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And our country has a unique opportunity, you know, called the ballot box. And, you know, they argue about the vote being rigged or the vote being suppressed and various things like that. But by and large, in America, we have a in America today, we have a better opportunity to freely vote than most other people at most other times and most other places ever had. And I thank God for that. So as Christians in particular, we ought to influence our leadership and then, of course, by extension, influence our public policies, our national policies, on the basis of Christians being involved. And even if it's something just as basic as getting out and voting, getting out and electing godly men and women into positions of power and influence. I pray this at our church all the time, that God would raise up, you know, godly individuals into positions of power and influence throughout our country, from the state to, you know, the local through the state to the federal levels. Because I believe that when the Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 12, when, you know, talking about the righteous, it says, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. And, you know, we need to get righteous people into office. And I think that's one way we could change a lot of things that are happening. Christians avoid politics as if it's somehow too dirty to get involved in. And, you know, it can be a distasteful business. We were talking about hot dogs and sausages earlier before the program, and somebody has observed there's two things you don't want to ever watch. It's making sausages and passing legislation. And as Christians, we've abdicated our role to the unsaved and to the secular world. You know, the passing of laws and regulations and the origination of policy in our country. We need Christians to get back involved in the government. We need Christians to get back involved in the military and change the thinking. Because like I read there in Proverbs 29, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And I think that's one good way that we can do it. Having said all that, our nation has not ever been perfect, nor will it ever be perfect. And Christians serving in the military, Christians serving in the government, have an obligation to do the best that they can. Remember in Luke chapter 4, when the soldiers came to John the Baptist asking what they should do, when John said that they should bring forth fruits for repentance, he said to do violence to no man. And not adjust or accuse anybody falsely, because the soldiers in that day acted as police forces in the villages and towns, and they would rough people up and force them to give them money, force them to give them food and things. And that's what he's talking about, do violence to no man. He wasn't saying they couldn't take up arms. He was just saying don't rough people up and accuse them falsely so you can take stuff from them or blackmail them or something like that. And so Christians really have to be aware of these things. And, you know, we're always going to disagree about whether or not some wars are wrong or right and whether they're justified or not. But by and large, in the military, we should be about the business of protecting the innocent, protecting those who have no protection. And that's a complicated topic. I know I probably went over some things that a little more time should have been taken, but hopefully, Tiffany, that helps a little bit with your question.
Well, I mean,
there.
I'm in my early 30s, and consciously, you know, as an adult, I pretty much have gone through three presidencies now.
Right.
And I look at the things that are being done, you know. I don't talk a lot about it because people get so heated and, you know, there's so much racial bias. But, you know, this last election, you know, I voted for George Bush, you know, on his final term. And, you know, people talk, it's like people ignore the truth you know, and I was one of those people that sat glued to CNN when, you know, Tom Brokaw kept coming in and informing the public about these errant missiles that were, and if you think about, you know, missile science and how exact it is and how we were supposed to be in one area because of this war on weapons, and all of a sudden here we are 1,000 miles east bombing oil pipelines and destroying oil fields. You know, it's like you can't ignore the fact that, you know, our troops were basically sent to war so someone could advance their business. Basically, you know, he's on this board with Halliburton and, you know, he's...
Right, and for time's sake, and not just to cut you short, because I do have another caller with a topic we want to get to as well, but let me just add this to it. One thing you have to understand, in the process of war, things happen oftentimes that aren't planned for, and I'll share this from my perspective, having been in the military. One thing I learned when I was serving in the United States Air Force back in the 1980s, and that was the Cold War. I was there in the last days of the Cold War when we were victorious over the old Soviet Union. And one of the things that I learned, which was a good lesson to understand, is that during the course of the Cold War, and we're talking about during the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and into the 80s, The key expenses of the Soviet Union in terms of of what they did was the KGB, which was their secret police at the time, and state police security service and all, equivalent of our CIA and FBI in a sense rolled together. But they spent a lot of money doing two things: stealing our technology, which is why the MiG fighters always looked like our fighters. And the other thing they did was influence our media. And having seen news firsthand before it got on the evening news, I can honestly say that the Soviet Union got their money's worth, and they're still getting their money's worth even though the Soviet Union is gone. So one thing that you need to remember when you see people on CNN and on NBC, ABC, CBS, and even unfortunately sometimes on Fox, is that they're not always giving you the news, the truth. A lot of times it's been modified or it's been altered. And another thing that happens is in the course of the war, and I know what happens a lot in the Middle East, and it's not exclusive to the Middle East. This happened, if anybody remembers the old Nicaragua situation back during the Reagan administration, people would do things and blame it on us and say we did it, and the media would report it as if we did it. And you'll see this in the Middle East, that Israel, for instance, will be blamed for things. And it's very obvious that they didn't do it. I know that they would film battle scenes where it looked like the Israeli police were shooting the poor innocent Palestinians, and then when the cameras turned off, all the dead and wounded got up and went home. They did the same thing in Nicaragua. People sit around and talking. When the news cameras would roll in, they'd go out, have a battle. People would get shot, lay down dead. The news cameras would leave. They'd get up, and they'd go back to having a good time together. So, including the dead, they'd get up. So what you see on the news is not always as accurate as you might think that it is. I'm going to have to get to our next call. I realize we're coming out of time. We're coming down to the last portion of the program here. But I would advise, if you've got access to the internet, look at a variety of sources and look at some stuff outside the country. Don't depend on the American news media to give you good information. You'll be amazed sometimes. It'll be an eye-opening experience to what the American news media reports and what actually is happening in the world. The Iran war, Afghanistan and all, my philosophy there is that it's better to fight something away from you rather than in your own backyard, if at all possible. Keep the danger as far away from you and your own as you can. And when the Cold War ended and the Soviet Union crumbled and the Berlin Wall came down all at the end of the 80s there, and the Berlin Wall came down and then the Soviet Union crumbled, I told my wife, I said, the next thing we're going to have to fight is Islam. And that was under the surface.
Well, I mean,
and,
that's
happening today.
That's just part of prophecy, you know. But I do want to say just one last thing.
Sure.
I talked to a veteran, and he's fairly young, but he's done two tours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was just telling me, I was like, you know, because he's so scarred up. And,
yeah,
you know, we joke about all his prosthetic elbow and stuff like that. He's like, I got the original people's elbow right here. But, he was just telling me how he's a young white guy. And he was just telling me how it's not how the media makes it out to be. And the people over there are really happy that our soldiers are there.
Right.
And, you know, I thank God for that, if that's the truth, that we are doing some good over there and showing them some American hospitality, because our hospitalities are rooted in the word of Christ, because our country
I appreciate that, Tiffany. Ultimately, that's what we ought to do, is be showing the love of Christ in some fashion.
That they are able to still show the love of Christ, because
right.
people see that.
Tiffany, I appreciate that. Hope you'll call us back in the future.
Thank you. Have a great night.
And you have a good Memorial Day. And again, thank you very much. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Ronald calling up. And Ronald, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
I've been reading this article and following the news on the Boy Scouts. I'm looking at Friday's paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
ESA makes a statement and says, while people have different opinions about this policy, we can all agree that kids are better off when they are in scouting.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the BSA is promoting inclusiveness, which is always good. I mean, we don't hate the sinner, just the sin. But you know what their situation is in BSA. The policies are open for gays and inclusiveness, and if BSA wants to recruit out of public schools, they're going to have to come on board and try to be acceptable, because if they can't recruit out of public schools or be associated with public schools, they're in a hurting mess.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to have this policy. So they allowed no scout leaders, gay scout leaders, but they're allowing gay scouts. Now my question is, do you think it's biological, or do you think it's the will that's promoting homosexuality?
I'm going to answer it this way. My wife and I served as missionaries in the Samoan Islands. In the Samoan Islands, they have a practice, or I shouldn't say a practice, a what they call the fafafine. And the fafafine is where they take a little boy and they raise him as if he's a little girl. Okay? They dress him as a girl, treat him as a girl. And he goes into some of the Samoan churches, and if they have a girls' choir, he sings in the girls' choir. He plays with the girls. He associates with the girls. And they treat him like a girl. They have various reasons for doing this. One of the reasons, if they don't have enough girls in the family, they'll take one of the little boys, raise him as a girl. We had some missionaries that joined us there, this family, the Yingling family, who came down and joined us, they had a little boy. They had a little girl, and two little boys. One little boy was the youngest, and they were asked very seriously, are you going to raise him as a boy or a girl? And this was a phenomena. Now, some of those fafafines, when they became older, would live straight heterosexual lives and move past the fafafine business. But a number of them would become practicing homosexuals, and they were pushed into it. I believe that homosexuality is primarily an act of the will. And let me give you another reason for that. Are you familiar with the term LUGS, L-U-G-S?
No.
It's a phenomenon. It's called lesbian until graduation. On college campuses, it's a well-known phenomena for young women on college campuses to experiment with lesbianism while they're in college, and oftentimes become lesbians for the time, and then after college, they'll go back to being heterosexual. Now, if it's purely biological, how can they switch back and forth? And the fact of the matter is, even if it was biological, sometimes you can see a good way of understanding a question like that. If you say, well, what if it is true? Well, if it is true, it still doesn't get around the fact that the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. And let me put it to you this way. Does the Bible say that lying is a sin? I mean, obviously the Bible condemns lying as a sin, right? We know that. We understand that. But what if somebody said, well, I was born a liar. I can't help myself. So do we acknowledge the sin? I went to school with Jeffrey Dahmer, the notorious serial killer. Sat next to him in the homeroom all the way through high school.
Wow.
Jeffrey Dahmer, when he was caught, said, if I wasn't caught, I would keep killing. I can't help myself. It's the way I am. Now, if that's true, if he had a biological makeup that made him into a serial killer, okay, does that mean we should say, well, okay, Jeffrey Dahmer should be allowed to kill as many people as he wants to because that's the way he was born? No, we understand that murder is a sin and we have laws against it. Whether you were born that way or not, it's a sin. The Bible says thou shalt not kill. We understand that lying is a sin. The Bible says liars cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we understand that lying is a sin. It doesn't matter if you were born that way. So now why all of a sudden are we being forced to say, well, even though the Bible condemns homosexuality as a sin, if somebody is born that way, we have to accept it. Well, we didn't accept Jeffrey Dahmer as a serial killer and say he should be allowed to kill as many people as he wants to. We don't accept people who lie habitually and say, well, they can't help it. That's just the way they are. So even if you were born that way, it still doesn't negate the fact that God says it's a sin. If it's a sin, it's amazing how people can be make the choice to, if it's biological, it's amazing how many people can choose to become that way. Again, witness the lesbian until graduation phenomena. And there's other similar analogous behaviors amongst men in various situations as well. But the fact of the matter is, you take a young boy in particular who is just, pardon?
Impressionable. Cub Scouts, I was a Cub Master for many years.
Yes, exactly.
You can tell Cub Scouts to do things and they'll jump off a cliff.
Exactly.
Tell them, run fast and jump.
Yeah, you can groom these young men and turn them into homosexuals. It's possible. It can happen. And a
I
lot
still
of people
got answers from BSA as far as the tent situation, the pup tents. Do they sleep together?
Yes.
What
here's
about
a
the
good
dignity
question
of the heterosexual undressing and going out for to take a leak at night? You take your buddy with you and so forth.
Exactly. And we just got about a minute left, but let me look at it this way. Would you, on a Boy Scout camping trip, let's say the Boy Scouts decided to have a combined camping trip with the Girl Scouts, would you let your 15-year-old Boy Scout sleep in the same tent with a 15-year-old Girl Scout?
That's what they're doing.
No, because they're attracted to each other. We understand young men and young women, the biology and the hormones and everything like that. So if they're attracted to other young men, why would you want them in the tent together? People don't think of the practicality of this. And I'll have to end it right there.
I hope your listeners write in to BSA.
Exactly.
And let them know.
It's a sad thing. And appreciate the call, Ronald. We're running out of time here. Another thought, what about churches that have a stand against homosexuality and they allow Boy Scout troops in? Well, we're out of time here. And God bless. Get out and celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.